This woman is in the same caliber. She perceived that this is a holy man of God. Dear brethren, when we come together as an assembly, do I perceive that holiness becometh thy house? Do I understand that although God is a God of love, He is also God is light and God is holy? And she said, I want to build Him a wall. You know what? It's the word comes from the thought of a wall. She wanted to separate a place for His delight and pleasure. For His delight and pleasure. Well, what did she do? It says, with walls, let us set before Him therefore a bed. The first thing was a bed. And I want to suggest to you, bed speaks of rest. And I wonder, dear brethren, when the Lord Jesus cometh, because He comes by continual. And we heard earlier from John chapter 14, that I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And I wonder, my dear brethren, when the Lord Jesus comes into our own houses, into our own assemblies, does He feel at home? Is He at rest? Can Bethany be called my house? My dear brother, my dear sister, if the Lord will come to your house, how many things are you going to hide? How many things are you going to hide? I'll tell you. I mean, I probably will fill the whole basement. Now think about it. If the Lord Jesus will come to your house and mine as the house of Bethany, how many things you and I we might put away? I would leave it to you. How many of our assemblies, if the Lord Jesus will come in, would He find a restful place for Him as in the house of Bethany? He says every time He came out, He resorted to Bethany. He loved Bethany. You know why? Because it was a place where He could be refreshed. No wonder He will ask this woman, give me something to drink. Give me water to drink. Yes, He was leading her to all to bring before her the history and to introduce her to the company that the Father is seeking. But nevertheless, dear brethren, I dare to say that the Lord Jesus delights to rest and to find refreshment in the midst of the people of God, in the midst of the company. And may it be that tomorrow morning when we come together, we have this before us, that the Lord Jesus is going to be in the midst. What have I prepared for Him? What have I made of Him? I speak the things touching the King. It is one thing to give a hymn. My dear brother, listen, it's a wonderful privilege to be a priest. But it's one thing to give a hymn, you know, hymn 431, and the first hymn in the 14 is by Mr. Darby. 12 is by Mr. Darby, the first hymn, by the way, in our book. But we can quote these hymns. But how many of us, because of what we have brought and we have gathered throughout the week, that I can present it to Him and say, these are the things which I have composed to make much of Christ. This woman, she made Him a bed. There was a restful, you might say, a restful place for the holy man of God to come at rest. And I wonder, dear brother, I'm not here to answer these questions. How many of our local assemblies are a place for Christ Jesus to come and be at rest and to find refreshment in these days, these last and closing days? The second, quickly, it says, and she made Him a table. A table. You know what she had in mind? That there is nothing greater to her than having fellowship with the holy man of God. And I wonder, my dear brother, we've been talking about the serious questions, who should break bread, and some young people have desires to remember the Lord. You tell me if there is something greater on earth than having communion and fellowship and partnership with the blessed eternal Son of God. The video games is greater, you think? Or the TV shows? Or the theaters? You tell me, what is the greatest thing that you could have here on earth as a believer than having a table? He, thou preparest me a table in the presence of mine enemies. That in the presence of enmity, in the domain of Satan, yet there is a fellowship. There is partnership. There is communion with this blessed person. And tomorrow we go to remember Him, to get by His table. Not my table. His table and His supper. What a wonderful occasion to be able to surround Him as His brethren and in fellowship. Isn't this not the communion of the body of Christ? Dear brethren, is there something greater to you? Is there something greater to me than to enjoy this practical, wonderful fellowship with none other but the blessed God who is over all? Every one of us have to test our priorities here on earth. Is there something greater? Table. The next thing it says, and a seat. And I would like to say that the seat speaks of a throne. He that sits upon the throne. The Lord Jesus is the one who occupies the midst of the throne. And I saw a throne. And he sees the Lamb seated on the throne. There is nothing greater than recognizing the authority and the rights of the throne and the one who occupies the throne over me. Brethren, we are bought with a price. And he has right over me because he created me. You know that the Christ Jesus has rights over every man and every woman in the whole world. Why? Because he is the creator. He has rights over me because he created me. But now Christ Jesus has double rights over me. Because not only that he created me, but he also is the one who has redeemed me. And he is the one who deserves and who is worthy to sit upon the throne. And she made him a seat as if to say, Lord Jesus, thou deserve the throne because I am willing to submit myself to the rights of the one who sits upon the throne. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to submit yourself to the rights of the throne and to the rights of the one who occupies the throne? And then it says over here, a seat and a lampstand. And I will give room for the brethren. Testimony. Testimony. Brethren, what kind of testimony do we have with the people of this world? Somebody said that most of mankind, they have never read the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But they have read different gospels. And that's the gospel according to John Ajami. Mm-hmm. And the gospel according to our brother Bob Carsten. And the brother according to our sister. And so forth and so on. What kind of testimony do I have before this world? What kind of testimony I have before my family? And when we come together as a company, that this was the theme throughout the whole day. In the assembly of the saints of God. What kind of assembly do I have? Do the brethren look at this young man and say, wow, this young brother is going to be a great asset to the meeting. You know why? They see him Tuesday night. They see him Pathfinders. They see him young people. They see him Lord's Day morning. They see him ministry. And right away you see that there is much interest for Christ. He had a testimony. And people would look at that young man or young sister and say, this is going to be an asset to the meeting. And young brethren, listen, the older brethren like myself, I'm not that old, but I'm getting there, you know. But the older brethren are concerned about the next generation. We want some young men and young sisters that will carry on the testimony, you know. There's a training ground. And this is where our heart's interest should be. Christ's business. And if we are interested regarding Christ's interest, then we better make sure, dear brethren, that there is another generation that's coming after us who is competent, not because in themselves, competent in Christ Jesus to carry on the testimony until he comes again. What kind of testimony do you have? This woman had a great testimony. You know how I know that? Listen, when the storm comes, and when the difficult circumstances will knock on your door and mine, can I be like this godly woman? Her son was dead. Her son was dead. How many of us would like to be tested that way? None. I'll tell you, dear brother, I have to confess. I pray to the Lord, Lord, never test me like Abraham. Is that wrong? It might be wrong. But I'll tell you, I pray. Lord, never test me. Like thou, you have tested Abraham. Because who wants to lose a child? None of us would. But that woman, despite these difficult circumstances, is it well with you? It is well. Is it well with your husband? It is well. Is it well with your child? It is well. And the child was dead. And the child was dead. And brethren, can I take this application and say, if we were asked these questions in these difficult and lasting and closing days, yes, there is so much weakness in the assemblies, but can you say as a part of your testimony, it is well? It's one thing to talk ill about the meeting, you know. It's one thing to talk ill about the older brother. Oh, this brother doesn't know what he's doing. And this sister, oh, God help us. And this company, ah, we wish we're not working together. And all these things. But brethren, despite all this weakness and failure, can we say, because we know that He is the holy man of God, it is well, despite weakness. Can you say that in your local testimony? It is well. A woman that had confidence in the prophet of God, she could say, it is well with my soul, despite the difficult circumstance. Dear brethren, I wonder how many of us are going to go home tonight when we go home. Is it the first thing? Well, what's on TV now? We came from a conference. Who's playing football? Who's playing baseball? Or are we going to be challenged tonight? That when I go home, that I want to see, what am I going to bring tomorrow? The things which I have composed, touching the King. And may it be so, for His name's sake.
Amen.